Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to The Scorecard with Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And we are back, and we are here on moving day at the Masters down in Augusta, and this is The Scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Barry and Mike here with you as we are every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. Golf coverage on The Score presented by Sam Adams Wicked Hazy IPA. And since it is Masters weekend, no better place to be than Augusta. That's where our next guest joins us from. He's on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or at apnissan.com. And we're pleased to be joined by Bob Herrig, golf writer for ESPN.com, down in Augusta, but a native of the Chicago area. And Bob, good to have you back on.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Morning, Bob. How's it going? For people who don't know, Bob is a Barrington native. He grew up caddying at Inverness Country Club, got the Evans Scholarship, went to Indiana University. Were they any good in basketball when you were there, Bob?
Hey, we're a football school now, man. we're good at football now. It's basketball that's gone to hell. Yeah.
Well, Bob,
that's right. When I was there, they were good in basketball. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while, but anyway. Hey, Bob, what's the weather like down there? What's predicted?
It's been really nice the whole time. You know, that's been a change. There's a chance for some thunderstorms late in the day today, which would be like when the leaders are on the back nine. So we'll see. They moved the tee times up just, you know, maybe 10, 20 minutes to give themselves a little bit of a window. And I think the players would welcome some rain. They're sort of over these hard, fast greens that are giving them fits. So, but I'm not sure it would be enough to really make an impact. It would have to rain hard and long for the greens to change a whole lot. You know, they have those sub air systems here where they suck the water right out of the greens and out of the fairways. So if they don't get a lot, they can get rid of it pretty quick. So, you know, it's been a lot harder at the Masters than it's been for a few years.
Yeah. Well, I think they're tired of everybody shooting, 20 under or 19 mm-hmm. under par. They're sick of it. So, Bob, you know, I'm one of these guys who, when Masters Weeks come, you know, you never want it to end, and you watch, I watch all the Golf Channel stuff and the analysis, and I kind of glut myself on it. I know you're around it every day, so you probably don't do that quite as much, but I never heard anybody on any of that commentary say that Justin Rose or Will Zalatoris or Brian Harman or Mark Leishman or Bernd Wiesberger or Tony Finau were going to be on the top of the leaderboard. You know, they were talking about Spieth and Justin Thomas, but, you know, somehow Siwoo Kim's name didn't come up, you know. It's remarkable, the some of the names on the leaderboard.
no question. You know, it's Will Zalatoris is playing in his first Masters, and that's like as hard as it gets out there. And he's up there, and he's in the last group. That's pretty. I mean, it's just a pretty impressive to get to that point. You know, just like you said, and all those big names are gone. And I'm telling you, I think they just got really flummoxed by a course that they haven't seen like this for a while. And so it kind of sort of leveled the playing field, you know, because they're all battling it. You know, the experience factor left a little bit because they're not used to this. Certainly the guys who've been around understand, you know, what they're dealing with, but I mean, guys putting balls off the green on 15 into the water, chipping it into the water. That hasn't happened like that for a while. So for the younger guys who don't have the experience, it's pretty impressive that they've been able to deal with it.
Bob Herrig is our guest. He's down in Augusta covering the Masters for ESPN.com. And Bob, you wrote about Jordan Spieth just recently about how last week's win may catapult him to this week's success, and he is certainly finding that success. He really seems to have righted the ship there.
Yeah, I was sort of trying to make the argument that winning last week was huge now because he faced all those doubts, right? All those demons that he's been messing with here for almost 4 years. And to get a win out of the way has to make the weekend a little bit easier because now he's done it. It's hard enough to win at the Masters or to win a major. But when you haven't won for so long and everybody keeps asking you about it, so I think it really is good that he won last weekend. It helps. You know, he kind of crossed that hurdle, and now the next hurdle is doing it in a major. And even when he was not playing great, he still played pretty well here. So I think that's a good sign for him. We'll see, obviously. He still has some issues. You know, he's still not quite the where he was a couple of years ago, dialed in with his swing and everything, and I think the doubts start to creep in once in a while. But, you know, he hit some nice shots yesterday, and he got a few putts to go in. So be interesting to see. I'm sort of, like, looking forward to maybe if he and JT were in the same group together. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, it would be. That would be. Bob, you know, a lot of things have changed, you know, just in the last, you know, 6 months or 7 months or whatever. You know, Tiger's missing. You got a completely different golf course. Will Zalatoris, whoever heard of him, right? And then you have Lee Elder with the ceremonial tee shot. I don't know if you were out there for that, but that seemed to resonate to a lot. It seemed like a lot of people thought that was really cool.
Yeah, you know what? I thought it came off way better than I thought it would. Not that I thought it was going to be bad, but I think it was more significant than we were giving credit to. And they actually did a nice job with it. And then he came to the interview room afterward with Jack and Gary Player, you know, and he was really good. He was very eloquent. He was very humble. And I thought the way they presented him, you know, it's a shame he couldn't get up there and hit the shot.
Right. I'm sure that was killing him.
But it was, you know, there's just a lot to that. Like that was, the year he played, Nicklaus won.
That was
one of the all time great Masters. Remember it was,
75, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, he came down the stretch with Johnny Miller and Tom Weisskopf, and he made that big putt on 16. That you see the highlights of, and that was the Masters that Lee Elder played in, the first one. When you think about that, it's not that long ago, and that they were, you know, that we were kind of dealing with that. You know, there had been other black players that should have probably gotten in the Masters before him, and he noted them. You know, he gave them their due. You know, Charlie Sifford being one. Mm-hmm. You know, he probably should have been the first to play. Ted Rhodes. Pete Brown. There were a lot of good black golfers in the 60s who probably could have been here first. And for whatever reasons, they didn't, you know, they didn't meet the qualifications, and, or, you know, they, you know, frankly, they kind of skirted to keep from inviting them. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of nice to see them address that now. And, you know, they've kind of taken on their past a little bit with that. And it's not like they're going to make it right, but they're acknowledging it. So that was what was pretty cool about that whole thing.
Yeah, I really liked Elder's attitude toward it all. You know, he just he was so great to him, and I thought that was terrific. And you know, Tiger always, as you know, you've covered Tiger for all 15 majors. He's always been very aware of that history, and has kind of carried it with him. But you know, it would have been interesting had Tiger been there. This week, that would have been different.
Yeah.
But then again,
it's a shame he couldn't be there for that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously a shame he couldn't be there, you know, for all of it. What do you think about the absence of Tiger at the tournament? I mean, how gaping, it seems like a gaping hole in the whole tournament that he's not there.
Yeah. I mean, if that whole thing hadn't happened, there would have been tons of conjecture leading into it as to his chances to win.
Right.
You know, we went from, is he going to get healthy enough with the back to be able to play? And, you know, everybody thinks anytime you tease it up, there might be a chance to what we're dealing with now, where, you know, he's not going to be playing golf for a long, long time. And, you know, I think it was really, it was sort of hit home. The Champions Dinner that he wasn't at, you know, his pre-tournament press conference on Tuesday would have pretty much dominated things. Obviously with Lee Elder, and, you know, Tiger's always been very deferential to him, and Charlie Sifford. In fact, you know, his son, Charlie, that's Charlie Sifford. That's mm-hmm. where that comes from. So, but he, you know, Lee Elder, when Tiger won in 97, Lee Elder drove up here from Florida to be there for it, you know, and wow, Tiger yeah. always thought that was such a great thing for him to do. So, anyway, yeah, it's, and then, you know, there's just a little bit of a lack of, you know, less buzz when he's not involved, you know, and if he were in 50th place today, he'd be getting all kinds of attention. So, yeah, it's a little, and it's weird to think that just 5 months ago he was here, you know, and
right. yeah.
And you know, didn't have a great tournament, but actually after that 10 on the 12th, he birdied 5 of the last 6. So mm-hmm. hopefully that's not the last time.
Yeah.
Yep, no doubt. A few more minutes with our guest Bob Herrig from ESPN.com. He's down in Augusta covering the Masters, and you talk about big names and kind of there being an absence there. These guys were there, but man, you had some of the biggest stars in the game miss the cut yesterday. Dustin Johnson just won a few months ago. Now he's out. Rory missed. Koepka missed. I mean, there's a lot of guys that, for whatever reason, just did not play well the first 2 days.
Yeah, and you know, kind of the sad thing is, if you could have snuck in, there's a chance. Because I think what plus 3 made it, and you know minus 7 is leading. That's 10 shots. They used to have a 10 shot rule here. It wouldn't have mattered this time, but you know, usually if you're within 10, there's always a chance. And Dustin bogeyed 3 of the last 4. I mean, he was well within it, and then they fell apart. Koepka probably shouldn't have played that knee issue that he had. I mean, he could barely walk. And on this, at this place, he might have done himself a favor to miss the cut. Is his I'm not sure that he was doing himself much good. Rory is kind of in a mess right now. You know, he missed the cut at the Players also. Yeah. So he's got a new coach on board. He's got some things to sort out here in the short term before he gets back. And so yeah, it's weird. That doesn't usually happen like that many big ones.
So Bob, Tony Romo, the palm reader, crystal baller, the Steve Stone of golf, he's projecting that Will Zalatoris is going to win this tournament. He was texting Jim Nance yesterday on the broadcast. And so if you look at the leaderboard, I mean, you know, Justin Rose would be a great, great winner, I think. And, you know, of course, Spieth and you know, any of these other guys could sneak in there. Justin Thomas or who knows, Bernd Wiesberger, maybe he'll win. Do you have any thoughts, any picks? You know, we have legalized betting here in Illinois, and people are ready to call or text or do whatever, you know, on the app.
Do you really? They do have legalized.
Oh my God! Oh yeah. Sometimes they have commercials on the radio, even.
Is it online or are there places to go?
It's on apps. You know. Oh yeah, they've got casinos. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got casinos right here in Des Plaines. It's just down the street. You know, it's all over. It's quite captivating. So you know, you being the expert, I think, you know, that's they'll all be on the app. Five minutes.
What
after
they should do
say.
Is what whatever I say, they should go opposite.
Yes, the George Costanza method.
Yeah, like, and I don't know if they do, you know, how they do the two ball betting. So like, who's going to have the better score in the group?
Yeah,
you know, so that would be one way to do it. But look, you know, I don't. To be honest with you, as much as Tony Romo likes Zalatoris, it's just hard for a first time guy to win. Brian Harman has not played in very many Masters. I don't think he had ever broken 70 until this week, or maybe one time before. Leishman might be a sleeper. Leishman played in the final group the year Adam Scott won. It was right there. You know, he lost in a playoff at the Open in 2015 when Zach Johnson won. He's been a pretty solid player for a long time. Yeah, JT is there too with a chance. I mean, look, it's so close that all it takes. Justin Rose showed yesterday he played the first seven holes in three over, right. No guarantees. So, you know, I actually kind of like Justin Thomas. So he's three behind, and but you know, I'm telling you. Bet carefully if you're going by what I say. buyer beware.
Buyer beware.
Bob, we certainly appreciate your time. We are up against a break here, but we do appreciate it, and we certainly enjoy your work on ESPN.com. Continued success, and thanks for jumping on with us.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Bob. Talk to you.
That's Bob Herrig from ESPN.com. He is down at Augusta covering the Masters. You can find him on Twitter at Bob Herrig. And Barry, I have much the same betting strategy when talking about myself, regardless of sport. If I think something, I should do the opposite. So that is, it's usually good advice.
Whenever you think the Bears are going to win, just put your get your head right and don't get emotional, right?
That's right. Whoever the team I think is going to win, we do it the opposite. We need to take a timeout, and when we come back, more Masters talk, and we'll conclude the show with two 12-year-olds. Yes, we're going to have two kids on. Why, you ask? Because they participated at Augusta last weekend in the Drive, Chip, and Putt National Finals. We'll talk to Logan Keeter and Reese Wallace before we close the show. It's Barry Cronin and Mike Esposito. You've got the scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine here on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And we're back. The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Mike Esposito, Barry Cronin here with you. Opening day, so to speak, for us. Our first show of the season. Masters weekend. Perfect weekend for said opening show, Barry Cronin. And moving day, and we just talked to Bob Herrick down in Augusta. Lots of names clustered atop that leaderboard. You can go down to the 17th place tie, which features one Bryson DeChambeau, who 67 after 76 yesterday, but he's tied for 17th. You got John Rahm and others tied at 21st. Plenty of potential here for lots of moving up and down this board.
Well, you know, one thing I noticed when you look at the leaderboard, Mike, is our old friend Stuart Sink, who was on our
yes.
show last year, is
That's
actually
right.
tied with Bryson DeChambeau. And so, you know, and you know, he's not a young dude anymore, but he's hanging in there. So it's good. Bryson was all over the place on Thursday. I think you said he shot 76, and then yesterday 67. So he's quite a dynamic and polarizing player. Some people just can't stand him because he plays so weird. But you know, and you wonder what's going to happen to his body in 5 years. I mean, he's a young guy, but what's he going to be at 35? You can't swing like that when you're 35. I don't think.
No. Well, we'll
see what happens.
Haven't we seen some of that? You know, Tiger obviously pre-accident we're talking about, but with all of the, you know, the knee and joint injuries and pains and surgeries and
whatnot,
his back, sure.
Mike. Yeah, I mean, and he changed his swing a bunch of times at different teachers and et cetera, and some of the swings that he did affected his back and thank God he was able to get back and win the 2019 Masters and everything. And who knows what's going to happen with Bryson, but he is certainly an interesting character in the game.
Yep, absolutely. So. And I should mention, Barry, our text zone is open. If you'd like to text us, 312-644-6767. Brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Long ball Mike, Barry, is out and about. He says, happy Master Saturdays, guys. Great to hear you back on the air. Having you two means golf season and good weather is right around the corner. Welcome back. Thank you, Mike. And hey, it's good to be back, and we're with you. Barry Cronin was out golfing in 75-degree weather earlier this week, so we're here
it was
for that.
Awesome. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe we would be out there. You know, you have the weather here is just so crazy, as we know, as native Chicagoans.
Yep.
It's something that you really never get used to. You think, oh man, you have these two beautiful days. They're perfect. Two or three days are just unbelievable. Everybody would live here if the weather was like that all the time. And then all of a sudden you revert to like misery.
Yep. So, welcome to spring in Chicago. Exactly.
Exactly.
It's certainly a lot nicer.
Yeah, that's the lament of the Little League baseball coach. I know, Mike.
That's right. That's exactly it. That's one of the guys I coach with for my son's team. He loves to say, "Welcome to spring in Chicago," when we have, you know, snow 1 week, and then the next week we're practicing outside in shorts, because that's just what Chicago does to you.
Exactly.
Nicer down in Augusta, although they are expecting, as we just heard from Bob, a chance of rain later. The course, as we saw on Thursday, I mean, Justin Rose played it marvelously, but not a lot of low scores on Thursday, many more yesterday, certainly, but Justin Rose still atop your leaderboard at 7-under. We've talked about a lot of other guys, Barry, Will Zalatoris, and Jordan Spieth, Siwoo Kim you mentioned, but Justin at 7-under has the chance to be a wire-to-wire champion. He's only got the one-shot lead. He did falter a bit at the start yesterday, but was able to kind of right the ship.
Right. And, you know, Rose has got a pretty good record at Augusta. You know, he finished second to Sergio, and I believe he finished second to Spieth in 15. So he knows how to get around the course. He's strategic. He's a super smart guy. And, you know, for whatever reason, nobody thought that this guy was going to be at the top of the leaderboard at the Masters, even for one day. He hasn't played well in recently, and went back to his original coach, Sean Foley, not long ago, and so seems to be getting back and into some of the stuff that Sean was telling him years ago when he was playing well. So these players go through phases where they go, well, I have to hit it longer, or I have to get a mm-hmm. new coach, or, you know, Rory firing his caddy a couple of years ago, hoping that would change his, you know, his trajectory, the trajectory of his career. And so Justin Rose now back with Sean Foley and seemingly, you know, rediscovering better play. And again, like I said to Bob, I mean, I watched all that Golf Channel stuff, and nobody said, Justin Rose is going to be at the top of the leaderboard after mm-hmm. two rounds. Nobody
right.
said that. And nobody talked about Zalatoris or Brian Harman, Leishman, Spieth they talked about. He's the one guy they talked about. But be interesting to see. This weekend is going to be, obviously, they're always great at Augusta, spellbinding mm-hmm. viewing. Even casual fans will watch this tournament, and that's what makes it so great.
Yeah, and the reason, and I'm one of them, and the reason I brought Bryson's name up is because as he's sitting there tied for 17th, that's kind of the under par group. I mean,
right.
There's 17 golfers under par, and they're all within, so Bryson's at minus one, Rose minus seven. I mean, any of those guys,
yep.
as we just heard Bob, right? Bob even said 10 shots, so he's given even more leeway, but it's anyone's game. It's not that, you know, and as great as it is to see a guy like Tiger Woods dominate the field, it's just as fun to have a situation like this where anybody can win.
Right. And you see how quickly it can change at Augusta. You know, Bob mentioned about Dustin Johnson making all these bogeys on the back nine in order to miss the cut. I mean, think about Spieth a few years ago when he dumped it in the water. He had a great lead and mm-hmm. knocked it a couple of them in the water on number 12 and lost to the great Danny Willett. I mean, my goodness, that guy, talk about a guy who backed into a major. You know, Spieth just threw it away, and it can happen. I mean, Tiger in 2019, mm-hmm. I mean, Molinari and Koepka knock it in the water on 12, and Tiger hit it in the middle of the green and went on to win. I mean, so a lot can happen at Augusta. And I mean, Rose was interviewed yesterday after his round, and they said, gee, what happened? You know, your first few holes were not so good in your second round. And he goes, well, Augusta National happened, and that's what happens. I mean,
yeah, I saw that.
You know, I mean, and that's really true. I mean, that golf course is super challenging from the first hole on, and you know, they seem to be scoring a little bit on the back nine this week, of course, but I think it's wide open for any of these guys. And I mean, that Zalatoris kid, I don't know if you saw him interviewed, but his I read a little bit about him, and his father and his grandfather were both fighter pilots. And I'm looking at this kid and I go, there's something about him, you know, that just, he's like, really intense and really smart kid. He reminded me a little bit of Maverick McNeely, who's the son of Scott McNeely, who was the head of Sun Microsystems. And they're just, there's something about the intelligence level of these kids, that just a look in their eye. And Salatoris is just unbelievable. So I wouldn't be surprised if he wins. Be crazy if he would win, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, and I loved his attitude yesterday. You know, they're asking him, you know, first time and everything. And, you know, I think it's Fuzzy Zeller, 1979, the only time that a first-timer has won. But he's like, listen, you know, I've wanted to be here my whole life, and now I'm here, and it's fantastic. I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm gonna go out and do my best. You know, he was the opposite of intimidated. I'm sure there's pressure there, but, you know, he's like, he was taking the joy out of it and saying, you know what, I'm going to enjoy the heck out of this, and you know, let's see what happens.
Right. Well, he's kind of playing with house money. So
he's
lucky to be in it. You know, he knows the only reason he got in is he finished in the top 10 at the U.S. Open in September. And that's how he got into the Masters. And he's been playing unbelievable. He's made a couple million bucks already this year.
Nice.
And he's got nothing to lose. His little downfall, I think, in his game has been his putting. That's what everybody says. His greens in regulation are off the charts, 70-80%. You know, the guy's unbelievable hitting the greens. And, you know, that's a big deal. And we should give some props to our buddy Brian Harman. He won the 2014 John Deere, and and he's really been playing well lately. So, you know, you never know. He was a great junior player, always a great putter and a great short game, doesn't hit it as far as everybody else. And, of course, Mark Leishman from Australia grew up in, I think, in the Victoria province. And, you know, they've got a lot of great golf courses, and some of them are Alistair McKenzie and, you know, the great Sandbelt golf courses down there. And I think he's kind of grown up. I think there's a familiarity that he sees in Augusta with some of the courses that he grew up on. So he's always been around the lead in the Masters. He plays well there. So and Tony Finau, there he is too. And he's traditionally played pretty well at the Masters. That one year he dislocated his ankle when he was running backwards at the par three, and he still played well.
Yeah.
So if you can do that, you're always
that was
at
amazing.
The top of the leaderboard. And Justin Thomas, of course, he's certainly a favorite.
Yeah, we heard Bob Herrig mention JT as a possible favorite. Cameron Champ tied there at 4 under par. You mentioned Siwoo Kim, Matsuyama, and Weisberger. We need to take a timeout, Barry. When we come back, we will have our youngest guests ever in the history of the scorecard join us. And they were participants in the Drive, Chip, and Putt National Finals last week. They played Augusta. They're 12. We'll talk to Logan Keeter and Reese Wallace when we come back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score. Ow! Masters weekend, James Brown, Living in America, and we're talking about what's going on down at Augusta, which brings us, Barry Cronin, to our next guest, who actually played at Augusta National last weekend in the Drive, Chip, and Putt National Finals. Let's head on out to the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline. Alpamonte Nissan is in Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apnissan.com. Our first guest is Logan Keeter from Northbrook. Good morning, Logan.
Good morning.
Good morning, Logan. How's it going, my friend?
It's going great.
Good. You had a big week, big weekend.
Yeah, it was amazing out there.
How was the how was your trip down there? Tell us a little bit about it. Who went with you, and arriving at Augusta, who came with you on the trip?
Well, my dad, my mom, and my brother came with me down to Augusta. And when we were there, we stayed at the Augusta Marriott. And then the next day, we had the competition. And then one of my favorite parts of it was the next day, we had tickets to the practice round, which is kind of the highlight.
Yeah. So when you first went into Augusta National, what did you, I know you probably watched it on TV a little bit. What was your impression and what was it like?
Well, I mean, first off, everything was just a well-oiled machine. They did not have many things that you could see kind of grass that almost looked artificial. It was that kept tidy. And I mean, the patrons, I mean, they were all filed up watching a few golfers, and it was cool to tag behind, and we got to watch Will Zalatoris. And, you know, he had a good first 2 days, and it was cool to just see how he prepared for that.
Yeah. No, and Logan, I want to ask you, because, and I know, you know, it's got to be awesome as a 12-year-old to participate in the drive, chip, and putt national finals. But I know for adults, and I, you know, speaking as a middle-aged man, I mean, for a lot of people, Augusta is a bucket list. You know, I want to be able to do this, and you've gotten, you've had that privilege, and I'm sure it's something, that you probably don't take lightly that, hey, you know what, I got to play at Augusta.
Yeah, no, I mean, personally, I'm pretty proud of myself. I mean, it's obviously an amazing accomplishment for all 80 of the players that got to go down there this weekend.
And before you got into golf, Logan, you were, you know, you were a baseball player, football, soccer. How did you get into golf, and when did you get into golf?
Well, I'd always kind of like hung around the driving range every now and then, but drive, chip, and putt was really the first like kind of thing that I did in golf. And after I qualified for the local, I took a tiny bit more seriously. I started getting my first lesson with Chuhan Lee, and after I continued to do well in drag, chip, and putt, I ended up dropping the other sports.
Oh, you did, and I understand you. So, how did you do? What was the competition like? You did the driving and the chipping and the putting, and how was that with all the kids there and et cetera?
Well, I mean, I enjoyed watching all the other kids swing. I liked being around the 9 other kids that were in my age group because they're all really polished golfers, and I really love seeing how their swing kind of like worked, backswing, foreswing, and all that stuff. When I'm watching them putting, their stroke and chipping, their lines, how they're thinking through a chip or putt, that was kind of the coolest part for me.
So you learned a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds like, Logan, and if I'm reading this right, because Barry mentioned you used to play, you know, a bunch of different other sports. So is golf the focus now? I mean, are you like, all right, I'm going to see where this goes?
Yeah, that's the focus right now.
And who are you taking lessons from now, Logan?
Actually, a few people. I'm taking lessons with Andy. He's at the golf practice. It's the place where you could go take lessons, and there's a program. And then I still take lessons with Chuhan Lee.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, Chris Olerking, you know him, right, from the golf practice. So we had him on earlier. So that's pretty cool. We're the locus of all these things right here.
That's
on
the
scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Well, that's great, Logan. Well, what's next for you? Will you be playing Illinois Junior Golf Association tournaments this coming year?
Yeah, I've signed up for plenty of those, and I'm hopefully going to go down to Drive, Chip, and Putt Locals in June, and I'm going to see how far I could get once again.
Well, Logan, hey, awesome story, and we really appreciate you coming on. Best and continued success to you as you go through and get older, and hopefully continue to play well as you get into high school and beyond. So thank you, Logan, for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Logan.
So that's Logan Keeter. He's a lefty from Northbrook, Barry, and he's 12. He was in the drive, chip, and putt national finals last week at Augusta on the boys' side. On the girls' side, you ask, do you have the girl? Well, yes, Barry, we do. We go back out to the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. We're proud to bring on Reese Wallace now from South Barrington. Good morning, Reese.
Good morning.
Hi, Reese. Great. Thank you so much for coming on. We know you're in demand on the radio all over the country, so we really appreciate you being on the score with us.
Thank you.
So, Reese, tell us a little bit about your experience at Augusta. Who went down with you, and what was it like when you first saw the place?
Well, my parents went with me, and it was hard because of COVID and having the spectators be limited. I really wanted my grandfather to be there and watch me play at Augusta. He's the biggest golfer in our family, and he would enjoy the experience so much. But I just think the experience all around being there was, the course was spectacular. first of all. But going down Magnolia Lane and having two practice screens and stuff around it, it looked fake. It looked like artificial grass because it was so perfect. Everything there was perfect and the best shape possible just for this tournament and obviously the coming tournament with the Masters going on right after it.
And did they kind of treat you like a star when you got out of the car and everything?
Yeah, I think, I mean, they just, their hospitality and everything was so awesome. But as soon as you walked out of that van, you were treated just like a pro player who was escorted to, you know, practice for at the chipping green and then going to the driving range. And you have all the chairmen watching you, and I think that was really cool how they treated us players being there.
Yeah, and Reese, so you have participated in this drive, chip, and putt before. In fact, if I have my info here right, you've done this three times before you finally broke through and won. And that has to be gratifying, right? I mean, it's something I guess you've been golfing your whole life.
Yeah, I was definitely bummed, and it's so hard to get to Augusta. I think it's just this whole drive, chip, putt thing is skill and luck at the same time. Because, you know, you can be sitting there and a kid will make a 30-foot putt and then bump you out of the whole thing. So it is difficult to get to Augusta, and I think it was just the most gratifying moment ever to obviously win in a playoff than to know that you're going to be going to Augusta.
And then you got bumped out. You couldn't go because of the pandemic in April of 2020, and you had to wait another year. But you told me that you had some physical changes over the course of that year. Tell us what happened.
Well, I hurt my back, and I think it was hard for us to hear it was going to be canceled, but it also was kind of nice because I could heal my back from my injury playing basketball. I was running down the court and somebody dropped the ball and then I was bumped and I landed on the basketball. So it was just, I don't know. I hurt my back pretty bad. And
So in a way it was good that you got a little postponement. And then what happened? Like I understood you like grew a little bit and then you lost some teeth. What happened there?
I think it honestly did help with growing. I grew 5 inches over the summer.
That's good for basketball. Sure.
Yeah. And I think it really helps with distance. I was hitting it farther than I was before, and I felt really confident just knowing that I was hitting it more farther and straighter than the season before.
And Reese, as we let you go, and we appreciate your time, I said in the beginning that you're from South Barrington. So how do you train? Where do you practice? Where do you play at right now?
So we have a golf dome by our house just if we want to see, like, the ball flight and just watch how the ball, if it draws or if I'm hitting a fade. But we also have a simulator in my garage, so I'm able to see my mile-per-hour stuff and how far I'm hitting my drive.
What's your ball speed? Do you know?
It's got to be, like, 115. The highest I got this year was 120.
All right. So. Good for you. Good for you.
Well, hey Reese, really congratulations on the accomplishment. It was great talking with you and continued success to you in the game of golf.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Good luck, Reese. Thank you so much, dear.
That's Reese Wallace from South Barrington. So that's kind of cool, Barry. I mean, as 12-year-olds, it's kind of like, you know, if you get to play baseball in Wrigley Field at 12, this is basically the golf equivalent, right? You're
exactly.
Getting to go golf at Augusta and compete as 12-year-olds. Pretty fantastic. And listen, those were 12-year-olds? It's like polished media answers, isn't it? It's like somebody should be giving them they should be giving a class somewhere.
You know, we watch TV and we see all the bad things that happened in the world. Uh-huh. But those two kids, you know, you're around enough younger people and you go, okay, there's the hope for the world right there.
Yeah.
It's no, easy to be disillusioned, but boy, those kids give you a lot of encouragement for the future. Well, it's just great.
No doubt, Barry. And just like that, as always, we are out of time here on Moving Day at the Masters. Good to be back, and we will be here every Saturday morning, my friend.
That'll be great, and Jordan Spieth will probably win.
All right, I'm going to go with Justin Thomas. I'm going to stick with Bob Herrig on this one.
All right.
Thanks. And Barry, hey, we'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks to our guests, Bob Herrig, Robert Marchione from Chicago District Golf Association, Chris Oegerling from the Golf Practice, and our drive, chip, and putt national finalists, Logan Keeter and Reese Wallace. Thanks to Adam Studzinski back at the Score Studios. Thanks to Barry Cronin, as always. I'm Mike Esposito, and thanks for listening to The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.